Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
For our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. I could have very easily entitled this message, "The Hardest Command to Obey." And it's found right here in this verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Many believe, and I also happen to believe also, that this may be the hardest command in all of the Bible to obey. But correspondingly, and at the same time, this command may bring the greatest blessing of all when it is obeyed. So we're going to dissect this verse this morning and see what we can learn from it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things, underscore always, underscore all things, under God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now I say again, this may be the hardest command in the Bible to obey. We're talking about, "But I don't feel thankful." Well, this verse is for you. There are four levels when it comes to thanksgiving. The first level is constantly complaining. Have you ever found people that all they can do is look on the negative side and complain? One woman was married to a man like that. He could never be pleased. And one morning she got out of bed and she decided that she was determined that she was going to please him. And so she said, "Sweetheart, what would you like for breakfast? Anything that you want for breakfast, I'll fix it any way you like, anything that you like." He said, "All right, I want two pieces of toast. I want one whole wheat, and I want the other one white bread. I want the whole wheat bread lightly buttered, and nothing on the white bread. I want two eggs," he said. "I want one fried over easy, and I want the other egg scrambled." "You got it, sweetheart," with a smile on her face. And so she fixed him breakfast just like that. But he still had a sour look on his face. She said, "Sweetheart, what's wrong?" And he said, "You scrambled the wrong egg." Yeah. There are people like that. You can't please them. They're constantly complaining. And then we can go a little higher, and there are those people who have a simple ingratitude. They don't complain. They're just not grateful. They seldom express appreciation for the blessings they have. And they kind of remind me of an old hog under a tree of acorns, never looking up to see where they come from. And many of us just go through life being ungrateful. Then there's another level. This is the obvious people. They are grateful for the obvious things. They have health and they thank God for health. They have food and they thank God for food. And they just thank God for the obvious blessings that they have to enjoy. But the highest level, the Bible way, the highest level is this verse right here in Ephesians 5:20. It's not the level of constant complaining. It's not the level of ingratitude. It's not the level of being grateful for the obvious things. But here's the best way to be grateful. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, folks, that's the highest level of thanksgiving. You know, it's interesting to me that this is kind of like an evergreen tree. The evergreen tree never loses its leaves. In sub-zero temperatures, it's still green. In scorching heat, it is still green. That's what we should be like when we go through the problems of life. We need to be grateful, because out of those problems, we expect that God will do a miracle and provide a blessing for us. Now, there's a legend of a man who found the devil's seed barn, where the devil kept his seeds that he would sow in the hearts of people and lives of people. And he discovered that there was a superabundance of one kind of a seed, and it was the seed of discouragement. And the devil said, when he was plied about why he had so many of the seeds of discouragement, he said, well, if I can get the seed of discouragement into a person's life, then I can get almost anything else I want in their life. But, he said, I found out that the seeds of discouragement will sprout almost anywhere except in the heart of a grateful person. Giving thanks always for all things in the name unto the Father in the name of Jesus. Now, there's three things I want us to learn here today. Number one, let's talk about the duration of this kind of thanks. The duration of this kind of thanks. He says here that we are to be giving thanks always. Now, why are we to be giving thanks always? Simply because blessings never cease. They never cease. One day out of the year, the last Thursday of the month of November, is not enough just to be thankful on that one day. We are to be thankful 365 days of the year. We need to be thankful every single day of the year. Look at this scripture, Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the man who daily loadeth us with, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with the benefits, even the God of our salvation. And then he says, Selah. Whenever you see the word Selah in the scripture, that means to pause, think about it. Meditate upon that. Selah. Think about that. Meditate upon that. God daily loads us with blessings. God has given you and me today a wagon load of blessings. Speaking of God's mercies, the Bible says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's been faithful to you. God's been faithful to me. And he has been faithful, and his mercies are new every single morning. And so every day, there ought to be a sprinkling of gratitude for what God is doing in our lives. Every prayer ought to be mixed with thanksgiving. Look at this verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. That is, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you want to know something? We are so blessed. And if we refuse to thank God for the blessings that we already have from him and keep asking for more and more and more, you know what? That's a very foolish way to live. We need to thank God for answered prayer. Thanking God for answered prayer. Most of us, we need to pull out some of the groans in our prayer and put in prayers of thanksgiving. Thanks is a wonderful thing. Rudyard Kipling, the great poet of yesteryear, gained quite a bit of notoriety as a writer because he was good at putting words together on written page. And he was being paid in those days 10 shillings per word at the height of his career. 10 shillings per word. That's a lot of money in those days. And so there were a group of young journalists who were jealous of Rudyard Kipling. And so they thought they'd play a little joke on him. And so here's what they did. They sent him in an envelope 10 shillings, and they mailed it to Rudyard Kipling and said, here is 10 shillings. Give us your best word. He wrote back, thanks. Thanks. Giving thanks always, perpetually, thanking God. Now, why should we do that? Simply because blessings never cease. Now, here's the second thing I want us to learn this morning from this short verse in Ephesians chapter 5, and that is, let's look at the dimensions of thanksgiving. We are to be giving thanks for all things. Now, giving thanks will not be so difficult had he not put in that word, giving thanks always for all things. Because simply, we should give thanks to God for all things simply because he overrules in our behalf sometimes. Look at verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5. That we are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here that thankfulness comes before praise. No matter what, give thanks. No matter what happens, give thanks. We are to have a song in our heart. And we need to thank God even for the simple things of life. For example, thank God for water. Every morning when I go into our bathroom and turn on the water, thank you, Lord, that well pump is working and we have water. You tap on the water in your home and you drink a nice glass of cold water. And when's the last time you ever thanked God for just for water? We complain when the well runs dry, but thank God for water. Thank God for the simple things like water. How many of us thank God for dirty dishes? You say, now wait a minute, how can we thank God for dirty dishes? You ought to be thankful for dirty dishes because you just had a meal. And there are homeless people scattered throughout our community who would give their right arm to have the meal that you just ate, and you see a stack of dirty dishes there to be cleaned. Thank God for dirty dishes. The simple things we can thank God for. And the obvious things, but what about the sorrowful things? What about the tough times we go through? What about it when we don't feel thankful? What about when we hurt? What about when we experience pain? What about we go through some problems we can't find a solution to? And only God alone knows how deep they are. Can we thank God for a heartache? Can we thank God for sorrow? You say, well, Dale, if you only knew what I've been going through, you wouldn't be preaching a sermon this morning with a smile on your face, thanking God for sorrowful times. I got news for you. I'm not the one who wrote this. This was written by divine inspiration. I'm not the author of it. I'm just a messenger boy. This was written by the Apostle Paul. You say, well, he never had any problems. Oh, yeah? Read your Bible. He had more than his share of problems. He wrote this from a prison cell in Ephesus. He had just been unjustly accused of starting a riot. They threw him in jail. He's languishing in prison, and he is saying, give thanks to God for all things. Now, why can we give thanks to God for all things? Simply because God specializes in overruling the circumstances that we go through. Giving thanks, that's the dimensions that are always for all things, simply because of the overruling providence of God. Now, how can we thank God for the troubles and hardships that we go through? How can we thank God for problems? How can we thank God for sickness? How can we thank God for tears and fears? There's lessons to be learned when we go through problems. All of these lessons that I'm going to show you over the years, I have learned them. Number one, trouble may correct us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present time seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, but afterward it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness to them that exercise thereby. No chastening for the present time seems to be joyful, but grievous. Amen to that. But afterward it yielded the peaceful fruit of righteousness. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, if suffering and pain sometimes corrects us, then thank God for it. Amen? Number two, it may cause us to have a greater dependency upon God. If we don't have difficulty and hardships, we have a tendency to stray away from God. But when we have these problems that are insurmountable and the pain that is so hurtful to us, these are tools that God uses to motivate us to crowd closer to Christ, Classic example of this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul had a great vision. He was caught up into the third heaven and saw sacred, secret things that are not lawful for a man to utter. He had a great revelation. And he says here in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure for this thing. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. For three extended periods of days, please God, remove this from me, this excruciating thorn in the flesh." And then Paul said, he heard God say, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." God was saying to Paul, "I'm not going to take away that thorn, but I'm going to give you grace to give you power and strength to work through that thorn." Paul then said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture that God in His love gave me a thorn in the flesh that I might see my weakness and depend upon Him and learn His strength. Paul did not say here what can't be cured must be endured. But Paul said what cannot be cured will be enlisted and enjoyed, and I will gladly rejoice in my infirmities. What a tremendous lesson here for us to learn. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Father, in the name of Jesus. Folks, sometimes this suffering causes us to have a greater dependency upon God. I've seen it happen many times over the years, even in my own life. What else can we learn about trouble? Number three, it may, It may confirm your testimony to other people when you go through suffering. When we endure and we still praise the Lord and we still keep the faith, you know what that does to Satan? It shuts his mouth. There are some say, "Well, you know, Dale, the only reason you serve the Lord is because you haven't known any trouble in your life. You don't really know me." Well, the reason that person serves God is because they've never known any difficulty in their life. You really don't know them. We all go through seasons of trouble, deep waters. When you go through suffering and pain and heartache and come up on the other side, still praising God, still having that rock solid faith that we preached about for several months, you know what that does? It shuts the mouth of the devil. Look at this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. Paul is in another prison. Can you believe that? When he went into a town, he didn't ask him what kind of hotels they had there. He asked what kind of prisons did they have there, because he was thrown into these prisons time and time again. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Yes, I suffered, but it caused the gospel to go further." And then he says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, "For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake," to suffer for his sake. Now we can go through heartache. We can shed tears. We can face fears, disappointments, and problems. And we can still love God and praise God. And when we do that, it shuts the devil's mouth and it confirms our testimony in the Lord. Now, Paul, who wrote this before, had written this already. Before he wrote this, he already had endured problems, trials, sufferings, shipwrecks, mocking, persecution, hunger, thirst, nakedness, character assassination. God used all of these hardships as a platform for Paul to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I tell you something else trouble will do. Trouble will bring you to a deeper maturity and more Christ-likeness in your life. That's what trouble would do. The psalmist said this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I have kept thy word. Psalm 119:71, "For it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Many times, we never really look up until we're laying flat on our back. There's only one way to look up when you're on your back, and that's looking up. Many times, we will never see until our eyes have been washed with tears. God's priority for you and me is not health, wealth, and prosperity. God's priority for you and me is not primarily for service and usefulness. God's priority for you and for me is spiritual maturity, that we will grow and become more like Christ in every day of our spiritual journey. That's the reason the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 4, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing." And the word perfect here in James means maturity. It means maturity. God wants us to grow up and mature in our walk with Him. It means bearing up under suffering and problems. When we endure, we become perfected. We become mature. Now, if you want to be mature, you've got to endure. You've got to have something to endure if you're going to be mature. So God gives us and allows these things to happen to us so that we might learn endurance. God is bringing you to maturity, and if pain and suffering bring you to maturity, then you can thank God for it. Amen? I'll tell you what else trouble will do. It will bring the excelling glory of God into our lives. Look at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Many of us say, "Oh, this is so strange. Why is this happening to me?" We say that all the time. Peter says, "Don't think it strange, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice." That means be thankful inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. The word partaker means you are having fellowship with Christ. That's when His glory will be revealed. "You may be glad also with exceeding joy." Listen to this. "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and their party is evil spoken of, but on your part, He's glorified." Folks, as we get closer to the end of time, we're going to see more and more Christians go through persecutions. It's happening in our world. It may even be happening to you as I speak. You're being persecuted. Character assassination. Words may be thrown at you, criticizing you. You know what we do with criticism? It's what I've learned. I say, "Lord, I don't like that, but I thank you for it." Is there an element of truth in that criticism? If there isn't, I trash it. If there is, I can even learn from criticism. But learn to give that criticism over to God and thank Him for it, because there's lessons to be learned even when we are criticized. When Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says his face shone like the face of an angel. When the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, the Bible says there was a fourth one there, and his form was like the Son of God. God will never be more real and more near and more dearer to you than when you are thanking Him for the trouble that you may be going through, recognizing that He's with you in that fiery furnace that you may be experiencing. Well, we live by promises in the commandments of the Bible. And it says here, giving thanks always for all things. That's a hard command to obey, wouldn't you say so? Say so. Yes, amen. It is. God is sovereign. You know what God can do in His sovereignty? He can arch that rainbow of Romans 8:28 over whatever it is. And we can know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. let's move on. A lot more could be said, but let's move on to the dynamics of Thanksgiving. How do we do it? Look at it again, this verse. Giving thanks always for all things, and here's the dynamics. Unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the dynamism there. You see, the true thanks is given to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the dynamics of it. James 1:17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. God daily loads us with benefits. God is good. That's why we say it. God is good. Dale, are you trying to tell me that I'm to give thanks for rape and for murder? Of course not. I'm simply saying that God is good. And God has a way of overruling us in our circumstances. And God, with the chemistry of the cross, takes all the things and he works them together for good to those who love him. Therefore, we ought to be thankful to God. Unthankfulness is so sinful that even poets wrote about it. Shakespeare said, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 1, when it speaks about paganism there, it gives one of the marks of paganism, and it's the mark of unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. If we fail to thank God, then we're going into some deep, deep darkness. Now, we give thanks unto the Father, and we give thanks through the Son. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of Jesus. This word actually means authority. That we have the authority in the name of Jesus to give thanks unto God. Here's a little phrase that we need to learn to pray all the time when we have a blessing received from God. Thank you, Jesus. When's the last time you said, thank you, Jesus? Let's say it. Thank you, Jesus. That's the dynamics of thankfulness. Thanking him in all things. Pastor Rittenhouse and his family were on vacation. They were riding along in an automobile. They were going in one direction, and the car was coming in the opposite direction. And it had a trunk on top of the car, and the trunk fell off into the road. And so Pastor Rittenhouse stopped his car, went over and picked up the trunk and turned around to try to flag that car down that had lost it. But it was too late. And so they opened the trunk. It was already broken to some degree. And they went through it trying to find an address. They couldn't find any address. But they found a gold medal. And this gold medal, this gold piece, was inscribed. And here's what it said. Given to Otis Simpson at his retirement by the Portland Cement Company. Otis Simpson, Portland Cement Company. So they began to do some research, and they traced it down. And they found this man, Otis Simpson's address, and they wrote him a letter, and they said, sir, we have found your suitcase, and we want to return it to you. He wrote them back, Otis Simpson did, and said, I don't want the suitcase. What was in it was trivial. But I want that gold piece. Would you please return it to me? And then here's what he said several times in his letter. That is my most precious possession. A $20 gold piece given to Otis Simpson upon his retirement from the Portland Cement Company. They sent it back to him. But Pastor Rittenhouse wrote him a letter. And he said, dear Mr. Simpson, I'm sending you this, but you mentioned that this $20 gold piece was your most precious possession. And he went on to say, Mr. Simpson, may I be bold enough to tell you what my most precious possession is. And he shared with Otis Simpson how he could have a relationship with Jesus and how he could have the assurance of knowing Jesus as the personal, as his personal Savior. He gave his testimony in that letter. 1 year later, on the anniversary of that day, Pastor Rittenhouse got a letter from Otis Simpson, and in it was a $20 gold piece. The same one he said, I'm giving you this back to keep because, he said, I don't want it anymore. No longer is it my most precious possession. He said, because of what you said in your letter, we are now active members of a Bible-believing church. And I want you to know, sir, that Jesus is now my most precious possession. Isn't that wonderful? We need to be proactive when God sets that up to share our faith, pass it on. If you have Jesus in your heart, you can say this Thanksgiving season, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. What is the duration of Thanksgiving? To give thanks always. Learn to say, thank you, Jesus. What are the dimensions of Thanksgiving? In all things, even in tough times. Think about it for a moment. I know some of you people. I know your story, and I know the tough times you have gone through. I've seen you at your lowest level wrestling with discouragement, your heart aching inside. Stop and think about it for a moment. Think back on those troubled days. If God had not allowed that to happen in his sovereignty over you, you wouldn't be enjoying the blessings that you are receiving today were it not for that trouble that you went through a few years ago. Amen? So we need to learn to thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for that heartache. Thank you, Jesus, for that trouble. Because you came through, Lord. Because I have been faithful to you. You have been faithful to me. And now I'm enjoying blessings beyond my comprehension that I thought would happen to me years ago when I was going through my troubled times. And if you are certain that you are saved here this morning, I want you to begin to pray for those in your relational world who may not know Jesus. Pray for them. Concluding thoughts. The duration of Thanksgiving is to give thanks always. Thank you, Jesus. The dimensions of Thanksgiving in all things. Thank you, Jesus. The dynamic of Thanksgiving is through the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Thanksgiving season. I pray that as we sit around the Thanksgiving table this Thursday, that we will pause to give you thanks for all the good that you have done and are doing in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we will not limit Thanksgiving to just one day out of the year, but we will learn to be thankful in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing our closing song.